worthy of glory. Hallelujah. And you know, we teach in this house that we exalt Him, that takes our focus off of everything that's in the physical realm. Amen. Takes the focus off of us, takes the focus off of our problems, our situations, our concerns, our burdens, and puts the focus on Him. Hallelujah. And when we change our focus and we begin to focus on Him, we realize just how big God is and just how little that our circumstances can become in view of that fact. Amen? How many are glad we serve a great big God? He's a great big God and a very little devil. Aren't you thankful that God's in control this morning? Hallelujah. How many believe God's still in control? Hallelujah. If you watch the media, you might not think that. If you listen to some conversations, you might not think that. How many know we're still on plan A? There's never been a plan B. And He's a faithful God to us. Amen. I'm thankful for His presence this morning. Dan and I had the privilege on Friday night of going up to Pastor B. Lamont's 100th birthday party. So those of you who know Pastor B. Lamont, she was at our conference in September. Bishop Ann Jimenez was there, and she said, "Say hello to the Malcolm family." And she said she misses you, and I said, "You can't have them back." She did say she misses you. In my head, I said, "You can't have them back." No. And so she was there to celebrate with her. I don't believe Sister Ann's too far behind Pastor B, she said. She said she was taking notes for her son-in-law so that when she got to be 100, that they could do it the same way or whatever. So they, she did. Sister B. Lamont, they were out west. I don't want to say the state, but they were out west, and they went to a drug rehab center. And I believe the men that were in the center that were overcoming addictions were putting on a play or something. The Addicts. It was John's group. And when John Jimenez walked on stage, B. Lamont elbowed Ann Jimenez and said, well, she wasn't Ann Jimenez then. He elbowed her and said, "That's your future husband." And she said, "I don't think so." And then they went out for dinner afterward, and the rest is history. Amen. And so they passed a rock church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where the Malcolms attended. But anyway, I say that to say it was such an honor to be there and to celebrate her 100th birthday. And she still wears her high heels, still does her hair, still has her makeup on, still looks like she's ready for a party. Her mind is clear. And at 97 years old, she flew to Africa on a missions trip and plans to go back again if she gets the money, she says, to go back to Africa. I say that to tell you that we are without excuse today. She inspires me. Amen. If you've not read her book, I have a copy of the book. It's not a heavy read. It's not very long at all. It's the Reverend B. Lamont story. It's called From Despair to Glory. And it talks about her life and growing up. And ultimately, she ended up with TB and was in a TB ward and was diagnosed with TB. She also lost a baby while she was in there. She hemorrhaged. They thought she was going to die with that. She was in there 9 months. She had got away from the Lord. Her life had kind of took a change. She'd went to New York, and she'd kind of got into a little different scene, and, you know, and she'd kind of walked away from her roots, but God called her to preach when she was 7 years old. And she said, "Never could I get that out of my head, that God had called me to preach." And she said, "There was a point where I thought I had messed it up and that I had walked away from God's plan in my life, but lo and behold, He put me in a situation, or I ended up in a situation that God got my attention in that TB ward in New York." And she had sent word to a little country church that her parents attended for them to put her on her prayer chain, her prayer list. And she said, "I really didn't even tell my parents that she was in the TB ward. She didn't want them to be concerned." And she got put on this prayer list, and Sister Patricia, I think was her name, wrote her back and said, "When I see the prayer list, I ask God who's the closest to eternity, and that's who I pray for." And he said, "God said to say to you, if you'll turn your life around and you'll give your heart back to the Lord and follow your calling, I'm going to raise you up out of this place and heal you. I have all the ladies that were in that ward with her, she's the only one survived, but God raised her up out of that place and healed her body. And she has been a woman of faith all of her life. She's pastored many churches. She oversees 3 churches in Africa that she pastors over. When I say she goes to the mission fields, I mean she goes to the mission fields and she ministers there and preaches the gospel. And God divinely, supernaturally saved her, healed her, and celebrated with her this weekend 100 years, amen, in the kingdom of God. That's something to celebrate. Hallelujah. That gives me hope to aspire to. Amen. She had a couple secrets they asked her, what was her secret? What do you take? Do you take vitamins? Do you exercise? Do you not eat meat? Do you all of those things? And so here was a couple of her tips, and I just want to share a couple things with you this morning, and then we'll get to the word. But it says, life should be, number one thing was, life should be celebrated and dress up doing it. If you know her, you know she dresses up doing it. Second thing she said was laugh a lot. That laughter's a good medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. How many know we need laughter in our life? We need fun in our life. We need rejoicing in our life. She said, practice healthy habits, but don't be afraid to enjoy yourself. I understand she likes bacon, butter, and lots of syrup on her pancakes. And she eats it, but she only eats small portions, she said. This was her son who gave these things. Avoid prescription medication if you can. She doesn't take any prescription meds at the age of 100. She said she tried blood pressure medicine, but it made her feel so bad she just gave it up. But she said, visit your doctor. He needs the business. And then on here it says, enjoy bacon, butter, and pancakes and syrup. And her favorite, one of her favorite meals is chicken fingers with French fries. Or get this, her favorite fast food restaurant is Taco Bell. I thought that was hilarious. One of her tips was stay current with the next generation. She loves the generation. She's a generational preacher, and she loves kids. She's done a lot of work with kids in ministry. And she said, stay current with the next generation. Next thing she said is embrace change. And they said actually the other day she actually used the word tweet. Like she likes social media. She's not very good at it. But from time to time she says she doesn't do Facebook. But mainly because she doesn't want it to interfere with her prayer life. She wants God to speak to her and not Facebook. I love that. I love that. Nothing against Facebook. It can be a great tool. But she said, nothing is a big deal unless you make it a big deal. If you have a pity party, don't let it last long. Death and life are in the tongue. You need to speak and declare over yourself what the word says. Amen. And one of her scriptures is, I will live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord, that she speaks over herself. Next thing she said is trust the big Holy Ghost. Trust the big Holy Ghost. She said, be a giver and not a taker. Forgive and don't hold grudges. When you need to fight, do it on your knees. God always has more for you no matter how old you are. Don't ever think you get to a point that you're too old for God to use you in ministry or in your giftings. God always has more for you, no matter how old you are. Exercise your mind with the word. She reads her Bible, she reads the word, she speaks the word, she declares the word, and she keeps the word fresh in her mind. And it keeps her mind clear and young. And last but not least, know that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. How many know that would make one of those good boards where you see all those signs that has all those sayings on it? There's Pastor B. Lamont's Secrets for Living to 100 Years Old. Amen. I think I can learn from some of those things. Amen. How much of our time do we spend sweating the small stuff and making things big deals that really are no big deal if we give it to God and we trust God with it? Hallelujah. And making God first and foremost in our life. The power and presence of God. Hallelujah. I was thinking as we sang that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Understanding that we have His presence inside of us. That you never walk alone. You don't walk out of this place and leave the presence of God here. Amen? How many know that it's not just this building where God's presence gathers? But the presence of God is here today because you brought His presence with you. You are an expression of the Father. You have a gifting. You have an anointing inside of you. And sometimes I think our biggest mistake and our biggest holdback is to think that somebody else has a bigger anointing, a bigger calling, a bigger presence than you do. Amen? But Sister B talks about the big Holy Ghost. Aren't you thankful for the big Holy Ghost? You know, we preach here, there's no little Holy Ghost. But the power and presence of God lives inside of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to send you a comfort. I'm going to send you the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to come take up our abode in you. And it's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. How many know the Holy Ghost won't lie to you? If you're wanting to know direction in your life, if you're trying to make decisions, if you're trying to figure out things for yourself, ask the Holy Ghost. Pray about it. Seek God. Does it line up with the Word? Is it what is profitable to you? Does it bring edification to you? Does it propel you into your destiny and your calling and your purpose and of God? Then it's probably the Holy Ghost propelling you. Amen? Or directing you in that. If it is contrary and it hinders what God has called you to do, it's not edifying to you, it does not lift you up, it does not propel you into your destiny, into your future, then maybe it's something you want to walk away from. Maybe you just want to shake some things off sometimes. I don't know about you, but I've had to shake some things off sometimes and think, you know what, that's not profitable for me. That's not beneficial to me, whether it's beneficial to my mind, my spirit, my body, whatever it is. Amen? Hallelujah. But, you know, understanding the power and purpose of God in our life, there's no big anointings. You know, it's not that somebody else has a greater anointing you. It's sometimes how much we exercise that anointing and how much we exercise that faith. And, you know, I believe what the Lord is saying to us is no casual faith. No casual faith where we kind of have faith, but we kind of don't, or we kind of don't know. You know, what causes our faith to be weakened or causes our faith to be lacking, I think, is a matter of our focus sometimes, where we take our focus off what the Word said is true of us, what the Holy Spirit inside of us says to us, and we start focusing our eyes on the problems or the circumstances around us. Amen? Because anytime God did a great miracle, did a great victory in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, how many know He had to cause them to change their perspective, change the way they view things? When He comes to Gideon, He says to them, Hail, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. How many know if the angel of the host of heaven comes to you and says, Hail, thou mighty man of valor, then the host of heaven must think that you're a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. How many feel like a mighty man of valor in here today? Mighty woman of valor. We'll take it like that. How many feel like you're mighty in here today? How many feel like you've been called, your purpose, you have an anointing? See, what happens, we hesitate because we think, well, I don't know if I'm mighty. And I don't know if I'm just being bragging or being proud if I say that I'm mighty man of valor. No, the Word says, Hail thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. But how many know that was not the view that Gideon had of himself? The view that Gideon had of himself is, if the Lord is with us, then where be all of our miracles? Why is things happening the way that they're happening? And basically what the angel of the Lord would have said to Gideon is, because nobody has believed yet that they're a mighty man of valor. And so nobody has stepped up to the plate and said, you know what? That's my territory. That's my calling. That's my purpose. I've been called. I've been born for this. This is my day, my season, my time. The miracles that you're looking for, Gideon, they're inside of you. You've been anointed. You've been appointed. You have calling. You have gifting. And you have the ability to step into this situation and change it for the better. Because I see in you what? A mighty man of valor. But we don't always profess that over ourselves. We don't always see that because we see the enemy or we see circumstances that seem contrary to what we feel like the calling is in us. Anybody ever come up to some contrary circumstances in your life? Ever dealt with some, you know, it says when they were on the boat, the winds were contrary. In other words, the winds were working against them. You ever hit some winds that were working against you? Hallelujah. We went on a ferry boat one time across into New Jersey, and when we got on that boat, the ride across wasn't too bad. But when we came back, I was praying in the Holy Ghost because everybody on there was a light shade of green because that boat was rocking. Let me tell you what, I'm thinking, well, if I go down in this boat, I hope my kids know I love them because I don't even have any way to tell them that I'm in the midst of a storm. But let me tell you what, something inside of you stands up even in the midst of a natural storm and says, Lord, you've called me, you've purposed me. I'm going to have peace in this storm and I'm going to speak peace to these winds. I'm going to the other side. See, when God spoke to Peter and the disciples, said, get in the boat and go to the other side. But in the journey crossing over, things got out of sorts. The wind got contrary. The waves started to roll. And all of a sudden, the boat's out of control. And they cried out in fear. Amen? You ever been there? Cried out in fear and said, you know, Lord, where are you? But the word to them was, get in the boat and go to the other side. If Jesus said you're going to the other side, then you're going to the other side. Hallelujah. But when Jesus came walking on the water, it's the scripture where Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Lord, if that's you in this storm, bid me come. And he said, come. Peter gets out of the boat. And you know the story. He starts to walk on the water. He starts to sink. And Jesus says, oh, you have little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And we laugh and think, wow. And most of us will be thinking, we'd be crying out like little babies, you know, in the storm, and we're going down. But Jesus reaches out to Peter, and he takes him by the hand, and together they walk on the boat. And how many know together, the destination never changed, the command never changed, the instruction never changed. They went to the other side. Hallelujah. And how quickly we can forget the word of the Lord in our life when circumstances come against us. How many know there's sometimes that things that seem contrary in your life, and regardless of the outcome, I'm going to declare the word of the Lord over it. Amen. I've just purposed that regardless of the outcome in my life, that I'm going to declare the word of the Lord and stand on what his word says. Because through that, my faith is encouraged. My heart has hope, amen, and I'll trust in my God and my Creator. Hallelujah. There are things that happen in our lives that we don't understand, we can't explain, you know, hallelujah. But aren't you thankful for the power and presence of God that can walk you through everything that you face? That even in the midst of darkness and despair, there is a presence, there is a help, there is a Savior, hallelujah, there is a Comforter that can walk you through no matter what it is. How many know sometimes there's things we need to stand up and declare and change, I believe. There are some things sometimes we can't change, but we can still declare the word of the Lord over every situation, hallelujah, and declare his goodness. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 through 6 this morning. I'm just going to start there and just have a couple of scriptures in my mind. We'll just go and see how long that lasts. But Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. You have that one, Carlin? Go ahead. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. How many know it's not just enough to arise? He said, arise and shine. Arise and shine. Wake up, get up, stand up, and shine. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen in thee. How many know if you listen to media and you listen to what's in the newspapers and things like that, how many know this is a lot of what you're hearing? Woe is me, gloom, despair, and all of those kind of things. How many know it says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. How many know you are a light in a dark place? A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Arise and shine. How many know you have been called to bring light into darkness? To illuminate the darkness. Illuminate the dark places. And it shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. If you're looking for your sons and your daughters to come, Isaiah 60:4 says, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at their side. Somebody say, I'll take that. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring golden incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe that you can be a light to nations? A light to the Gentiles. A light in your workplace. A light at the grocery store. A light to your family. Hallelujah. How many know, Sister B said in her thing, we have the power of life and death in our tongue. Do you believe that this morning? That we can speak life to people, or we can speak death to them. We can speak victory to people, or we can speak defeat to people. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes even in our marriages and our relationships, you need to be the strong one and stand up and say, I know situations look bad, but this is what the Word says. Hallelujah. I said something, Dan and I were kidding about something the other day, and he said, yeah, right. And I said, you just don't know how big my Jesus is. And he said, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, got it, and we were just kidding around. But, sometimes we need to think, just say those kind of things and speak those things out. You just don't know how big my Jesus is. You don't know how powerful the Word of God is in your life. You don't know how great our God is. And when situations look like they can't be met, how many of you can raise your hand and say, God has brought me through circumstances that I did not see any way out of them, but by the hand and the mercy and the grace of God, I am here today and I am what I am. Hallelujah. God has come through for us in times of financial need that I had no idea how it was going to happen, and yet God would move, and I just say, God, you just are just too awesome. You just outdo yourself. Hallelujah. And there have been circumstances that, I just did not see any way out of, but God would step up and step in and move, and I would just see the hand of God, and it would be a faith builder. Amen? How many know when we put God, I don't want to say put God to the test. It's not that I'm testing God. It's when I put my best foot forward in faith and say, God, I'm stepping out of the boat. I'm stepping out in faith and trusting you to do what you said you would do. She says in her book, she said that the little lady from her church started to pray for her and told her if she would give her life to the Lord and receive God and follow her calling, that she would raise her up out of that place. And she said, I was so weak that they wouldn't even allow me to sit up. She said, I told the girl beside me, she said, get my robe and get my slippers. I'm getting out of bed. She said, you could only do that if the nurse was at lunch. And she said, the nurse was at lunch. So she said, I got my robe, I got my slippers, and I got up out of bed, and I walked to the bathroom. She said, I was so weak, then shaking. She said, perspiration was pouring off of me. When I sat down on the toilet, she said, I thought I was going to die right there. And she said, I determined in my heart I'm not going to die sitting on this toilet. I'm going back to that bed. And so she got up again, and she made her way back to the bed. And she said, every day I stood up and said, I'm going to live. I'm going to live, and I'm going to trust God to heal me. And she just each day stepped out in a level and a faith, you know, and just asked God, just help me step every step of the way. Yeah. Amen. Regardless of what you're walking through, say, God, just help me make the step today that I need to step into. Hallelujah. Amen.
And so that has been my strength and my refuge. When I look back at that and think, you know, with times when I thought, you know, was I going to make it, or was I a failure, or was I, you know, did I do what God called me to do? Have I run the course and finished, you know, the course? And, of course, I know I'm not finished yet, because I'm going to use this to be as my pattern, you know. But that scripture, I go back to it many times and refresh myself that God called me with that scripture. That's the one he used. When I saw the, and I didn't even know it was in the Bible, but when I was on my knees praying, Jenny and I was in my living room, and we were on our knees praying in the Holy Ghost, and it's like God just showed me like a marquee on a theater, and the words on that said, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And then he said, you go. And that scripture came, and I got up and I looked in the Bible for that scripture, and the first five verses is what God gave me when he called me. And it's been my strength through the years of looking back on that and saying, reminding myself as well as God, you know, I am called, I am, you know, what you said I am, I'm doing what you told me to do. And it's what's got me through these many, many years. A couple more days would be another one. But
amen. Amen. Get ready to celebrate the next birthday here, November 1st. Amen. Hallelujah. I love birthdays. The more you get to celebrate, the better. Amen. Going to live and not die. Celebrate life. Celebrate every day you have, you know. However many years you get, celebrate them all. Make the most of it. Make the best of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John 5, 1 through 18, go ahead and bring that one up, Carlin. And Soon another feast came around, and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. This was the feast of Pentecost, I believe, that was about to take place. One man had been an invalid there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool and knew how long he had been there, he said, "Do you want to get well? Wilt thou be made whole?" The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in." Jesus said, "Get up, take your bedroll, start walking." The man was healed on the spot. He picked up his bedroll and walked off. That day happened to be the Sabbath. The Jews stopped the healed man and said, "It's the Sabbath. You can't carry your bedroll around. It's against the rules." But he told them, "The man who made me well told me to. He said, take your bedroll and start walking." They asked, "Who gave you the order to take it up and start walking?" But the healed man didn't know, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. A little later, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "You look wonderful. You're well. Don't return to sinning life, or something worse might happen." The man went back and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. That is why the Jews were out to get Jesus, because he did this kind of thing on the Sabbath. But Jesus defended himself. "My Father is working straight through, even on the Sabbath, so am I." That really set them off. The Jews were not only out to expose him, they were out to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his Father, putting himself on a level with God. So here we have the scripture of the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, And the scripture says he is impotent. He has been there for a very long time, 38 years. And the scripture says Jesus walks into that area and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Hallelujah. Bethesda means house of mercy. He was at the house of mercy. Another definition means covered and surrounded by grace. Aren't you glad that you're covered and surrounded by grace this morning? That you have received grace and mercy? Hallelujah. We didn't receive justice. We received grace and mercy. We are justified through the cross, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. We were justified, but we received grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And I like that it says that it had five porches. And I liken that. I was thinking last night, five alcoves, five porches, or five entrances into that place. And I liken that unto the fivefold ministry flowing in your life. How many know I believe that if we can position ourselves in a place of grace and mercy and allow the giftings of the fivefold ministry to flow into our life, how many know it can cause us to stand up and our legs receive strength and cause us to be able to walk differently out of the place that we're in? How many know this, the place where this man is at, he is surrounded by people who are waiting on something. Waiting on their life to change. Waiting on circumstances to change. Hallelujah. But it says that as they were, he was in that place. I believe that, you know, as we submit ourselves into the presence of the Lord, how many know he brings healing in our life daily? He brings strength into our life daily. He brings change into our life daily. And sometimes it's just a change of mind. Sometimes it's a change of attitude. Sometimes it's a change of atmosphere. Hallelujah. But as we allow the giftings of the fivefold ministries, the prophet, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. How many know being having good teaching, having good preaching, having good outreach, having an apostolic ministry over your life? How many know that brings strength to you? That brings healing to you. That brings hope to you. Our minds are being renewed day by day. The scriptures become alive to us. They become real to us. And, you know, those scriptures will come to you. They'll just jump out of your spirit sometimes, and God will bring a scripture to you or speak one to you. When he does, write it down and date it. Write it down and date it. Say, that's mine. I receive that. I have places in my Bible where I've prayed, you know, for God, I need you to move in this circumstances. And then God would move, and I would pick out a scripture, and I would write down the date that I prayed and said, God, I'm trusting you for this. And then I go back later, and I giggle, and I laugh and look at that and think, man, I thought that was a big thing at the time. And now it seems like not so big a thing. It doesn't even seem like a big deal. But at the time, it was a big deal. And I got the date and the time, and I said, God, I'm going to mark this day, this scripture, this memorial for you to move on my behalf. It's a reminder to me to go back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you brought me this far. Thank you, you brought me here. Thank you that you brought me to this place. But Jesus says to him, do you want to be well? Wilt thou be made whole? How many know the answer was asking the question? Because Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. But what's different about this day to this man is presence. The presence of Jesus is there. And when Jesus says to him, wilt thou be made whole? He says, he doesn't answer yes or no. He answers like most of us do. Well, right? He doesn't say, yes, yes, I want to be made whole. He says, well, Lord, here's how it works. When the water gets stirred, I have no man to put me in the water. And so I have stayed here for 38 years in the same situation, the same circumstances, waiting on a man to fix my problem, to fix my circumstances, and it hasn't gotten fixed. How many know when our trust is in man or man's ability to change us, fix us, or heal us, we will sit there for a very long time in that place. But when our focus begins to shift and his presence comes into the picture, all of a sudden Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? The answer to that is the answer to that is yes. And how many know I'm not just talking about physical healing, and I am talking about physical healing, but I believe that we can have healing mind, soul, body, and spirit. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes the renewing of our mind or the healing of our mind will manifest physical healings in our body? Lord, I want to be made whole. Yes. My answer is I want to be made whole. I want to be emotionally made whole. I want to be spiritually made whole. I want to be physically made whole. I want to be financially made whole. I want all of my trust and my hope to be in you and not in man's ability to fix me or make me whole. Hallelujah. And you know, even besides that, he said, when the waters get troubled, somebody gets in ahead of me and they get my healing. How many know that the power of the Holy Spirit in you is what troubles the waters? I said to you this morning before we got started, let's just trouble the waters in this place this morning. What I mean about that, let's stir the water. Because the scripture says, out of our bellies, what? Flow rivers of living water. That I believe as we begin to stir those waters, and we begin to stir up the life inside of us, and we begin to stir up the anointing inside of us, all of a sudden we come connection to somebody else who's got it stirred up inside of them, and then they connect with somebody else who's got it stirred up inside of them. Patsy gave me a hug this morning, and I felt the Holy Ghost. We just hugged for a moment and I felt the Holy Ghost, because the anointing and power inside that woman is just as powerful as the anointing inside of me. And when heart came to heart, I felt a stirring of the water this morning. I felt a touch. I felt a presence. Hallelujah. And it's healing me from the inside out. Amen. It heals me physically, emotionally, spiritually, every area of my body. His presence are what makes the change. His presence is what makes the difference. You know, and I've said to this before, insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and expecting different results. Do you know that's the definition of insanity? Now, don't raise your hand, but are there any insane people in here this morning? Come on, don't we do that? We do the same thing over and over, and we make the same choices, and we go the same places, and we make the same confessions, and we wonder why nothing changes. It's because we've done the same thing over, and we get the same results. So try mixing it up a little bit. Try stepping out of your box. Try stepping out of your comfort zone. Try doing something different. He said, before I get in the water, somebody gets down ahead of me, and they get my blessing. They get my healing. They get my touch. So tomorrow when they bring you to the pool, tell them to lay you on the edge. And when the water starts to stir, push me in. Give me a nudge. Help me to get what I need. How many know sometimes we just need somebody that'll just give you a little nudge and say, go ahead and step in to what God has put before you. Go ahead and step in. The healing is there. The purpose is there. The calling's there. Go ahead. Do the army crawl. Do the roll. Do the twist. Do the push. Do whatever you got to do, but do it. I mean, no, sometimes you got to stand up and say, you know, 38 years later, today is my day. Hallelujah. But maybe it's not even my physical need that I need you to touch, Lord. Maybe it's my emotional need. Maybe I need you to start up in here and change my stinking thinking. Bring faith builders into my life. Bring the word to my remembrance. I got a CD in the car I got the other day, and it's a wellness from the word. Kate McVeigh did it, and she's got music behind it, and it just is about a 45-minute CD of nothing but the word playing. Scriptures about healing, scriptures about rest, scriptures about peace. And when I got to travel or go to a conference or something, I'll put that in, and that just starts speaking, and it just starts declaring. It's not even explaining the scriptures, but it just starts declaring the word, and just starts declaring the word. And it's reminders to me, and it brings to my remembrance what the word says, and it builds up my it builds up my spirit. It builds up, it renews my mind. It changes my focus. It changes my thinking, so that even if my circumstances aren't changed, how I view it and how I approach it is changed. Hallelujah. That even when I go through tribulations, even when I go through trials, I can go through it with my focus on Jesus. Because Jesus just stepped into his equation and said to him, wilt thou be made whole? Hallelujah. And what he says to him is, roll up the bedroll. Don't leave your bed here. Rise and walk and take your bedroll with you. Don't come back to where you were. Don't make it easy to come back to that place that left you crippled, that left you injured, that left you broken. Don't go back to that place. Roll it up, tuck it under your arm, and carry it with you. Now, ultimately, that's going to get him, not him, but it's going to get Jesus in a whole lot of trouble for telling him that, because it's the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus could have said to him, leave it lay there, come back tomorrow and get it, but be made whole. But what he said is, go ahead and roll it up and take it with you, because there's no coming back to where you once were. It's too easy to go back if you leave it there. Roll it up, put it under your arm as a testimony. I mean, some of you have had some bedrolls you've been delivered of. You got some history behind you. You got some 38 years of infirmity. We all do. How many know the best thing you can do is roll up that bed, tuck it under your arm, and use it as a testimony of what I has been, but I ain't no more. How many know a lot of us in here are has-beens? We has been through a whole lot of stuff, but we aren't no more. Hallelujah. And it's just a testament to what God has done in your life. Now, when it gets to the temple, then they say, why are you carrying your bedroll? Don't you know it's the Sabbath? We don't do that thing on the Sabbath. Amen. She's here. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. We're just declaring it. Amen. Mind, soul, body, and spirit. Hallelujah. Mind, soul, body, and spirit in Jesus' name. To be renewed daily. How many know, and it's not just a one-time prayer. You know what? I've changed my prayer, maybe my prayer style, I don't know. But I've just started saying, Lord, I thank you that my body is healed today. I thank you that my mind is being renewed today. I thank you that circumstances are shifted in my favor. I thank you that my children are going to rise up and call you blessed, that they're going to rise up and call you holy. I thank you, Lord, that the hand of the Lord is upon my family today. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing supernatural things in my church. I thank you, God, that increase is coming. I thank you, Lord, that what we've declared and what we've prayed for, it's coming to the house. And I begin to thank him for it and say, I am looking for a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm just going to thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word is yes and amen. Hallelujah. Because it changes our focus. It changes our mindsets, even in the midst of struggles. I mean, sometimes struggles are very real. And I don't mean to minimize that. They're very real. But how many know our focus has to shift from where I am to the presence of the most holy God in our lives? Hallelujah. It says, when doubt and fear come, and troubled, let the water stir up the big Holy Ghost inside of you. Hallelujah. Lord, my prayer today was help me not to have casual faith. Help me not to have casual faith. Help me to trust the big Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then they said, we don't do this kind of thing on the Sabbath. I mean, that's what the Sabbath was for, that man might have rest. But the Sabbath had become their sacred cow. It had become more holy and more sacred than the presence of God in their midst. Hallelujah. And here's my desire and my cry. Let this kind of thing be more prevalent on our Sabbaths. Hallelujah. Let this be the ordinary of our Sabbaths, that we begin to see the miraculous hand of God moving amongst us. Amen. That it becomes more ordinary and not out of the ordinary to see God's abundance in our life. Amen. Mark and Virginia came up last Sunday and needed prayer. And they sent me back a praise report and said when he left here on Sunday, his back was healed, his legs was healed, and he said he felt like a new man. That God, Brother Cutshaw ministered to him, to his back and to his legs and things like that. God touched him, ministered to him, and he was healed last week of his back and his legs hurting, and said he felt like a new man. Praise report. Thank God. You know, sometimes I think we forget to stand up and give God praise for the things that we do see and the things that we receive and say, thank you, God, for your touch. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you. You know, we say sometimes, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it does? Amen. Hallelujah. What if we just start seeing more and more of that? What if we just start receiving more and more healing? What if we just start receiving more and more hope? What if we just start building our faith more and more? What if we just start seeing the supernatural? And what if we just start recognizing it more? Because I believe it's amongst us more than we know. We just don't always recognize it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Miss Kylene had a good report with her doctor. Everything was good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. That even in the midst of, you know, we said in the struggles and things that sometimes we face some things, they're hard. Hallelujah. But we can fall back on those situations and even see the hand of God in that. Amen. And how God pulls us through. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just have to be done with where you are or where you've been to get where you need to go. Amen. How many know this man was codependent? He was codependent on a man to put him in the waters, to stir up the waters for him. If your dependency is in man, you're going to be disappointed. Amen. But our hope is not in man, it's in God. This was done at the Feast of the Passover, the stirring of the waters. We have the same stirring of that spirit in us. Aren't you glad that we have a Pentecost right here and right now? I'm going to go to Luke 8:43 real quick. In the crowd that day, there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages. She had spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. At that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When no one stepped forward, Peter said, "But Master, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Dozens have touched you." Jesus insisted, "Someone touched me. I felt power discharging from me." When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden, she knelt trembling before him. In front of all the people, she blurted out her story, why she touched him, and how that at that same moment, she was healed. Jesus said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well and live best." That scripture caught my eye last night when I read it in the Message Bible. It said, "Daughter, you took a risk." Put it back up there, Carlin, if you can. It said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole." How many know sometimes we just got to take a risk? We got to step out in faith. We got to exercise that faith and believe God to do the supernatural. You know, the reason that she held back from touching him is because the scripture said she had issues. She had an issue of blood. The Message Bible said she was hemorrhaging. How many know that means she's bleeding to death from the inside out? Do you know anybody like that? That are bleeding to death from the inside out. The issues have kept them separated from the very one that they need to touch. Hallelujah. And, you know, there was probably a time in my life that I felt like, you know, "Lord, am I holy enough? Am I righteous enough?" Or, you know, am I in the place where I need to be made whole? And how many know the law said, by virtue of the law, she could not touch him or else she would make him unclean. And she literally had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, I'm unclean." If anybody would come around to touch her, because the law said that she was unclean. How many know the law will always hold you at a distance? But aren't you glad that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was on every side, was tested, yet without sin? Hallelujah. That we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. I'm so thankful this morning. It's not about my issues. It's not about my, it's really not even about my ability to touch him. It's about his ability to touch me. Hallelujah. And he said, when she touched me, I felt power. Something connected, something supernatural touched me, and it changed. It charged the atmosphere. It charged the atmosphere, and I felt something flow out of me. How many know the power of his virtue is always way more powerful than your issues? Hallelujah. There's nothing that you can do in your flesh or in Adam that's more powerful than what God did at the cross for you. Amen. How many know your past is in your past? Your issues are just that. They're no more. When we press into Jesus, what we're saying is, I'm taking a risk. I'm throwing caution to the wind. If he finds me out, he finds me out. But I'm to the point in my life that I can't go on like I'm going on. I'm going to go ahead and press in a little bit farther, because maybe today the power of his presence is more powerful than my issues. More powerful than my bleeding inside, that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes we blame ourselves for circumstances and situations that happen. You got to give that to God. You got to say, God, this is yours. I can't change yesterday. I can't change who I have been. But today is a brand new day, and tomorrow is wide open. I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to thrust myself in. I'm going to grab a hold of you, and I'm not going to let go until I feel something change in my life. To the point that Jesus stops the procession and says, man, somebody today touched me. Hallelujah. Somebody touched me, and I felt something change. See, I don't want to just come to church and just feel a goosebump or feel presence and then go out the same way I come in. I want it to be change after change after change, precept upon precept, and glory to glory. I want there to be a constant change in my life as his presence becomes more real in me. There's a greater demonstration of his power out of me. And as she lies crouching on the ground, because now she feels like she's been exposed, now everybody knows she's touched him, everybody knows she's broke the law. Hallelujah. And he stops the procession. He said, who touched me? He said, Lord, we don't know. Everybody in this side of the country has been trying to touch you. It's all we can do to keep the crowd back from touching you. He said, no, there was a supernatural. This was a Kairos moment. This was a moment in time. This was a moment when somebody said, I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to touch him. And when she touches his garment, the scripture says, and she is made whole. Hallelujah. Go in peace. Thy faith hath made you whole. How many know peace is supernatural? Hallelujah. The peace of God in our life is something you can't buy with money. You can't earn it. You can't save it up. How many know it's something that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? And if ever there is a search and a cry in this time and season, it's for peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace with each other. Hallelujah. I think Caleb left, didn't he? But before he left, he sent me a text. He said, hey, I really felt a sense of peace and healing at church this morning. Just thought I needed to tell you, maybe pray for that if it makes sense. He didn't know what I was going to minister on today, but I want you to stand with me this morning. And I want to honor that, because I don't believe there's a little Holy Ghost. I believe in the big Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you need a sense of peace in here this morning, you just need to God give you peace. He said, I felt a sense of peace and healing. Hallelujah. So I just want you to lift your hands in this house this morning. Wherever you are, whatever your struggle is today, I just want to declare peace in your mind. Because I want the peace to operate out of your mind and out of your spirit to radiate in your body. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't feel like you've ever made that connection, you don't feel like you've, you know, that you feel like your salvation is secure, I want you to come up and I want you to pray with you this morning. If you want special prayer in here this morning, come on up and let us pray with you for that peace and that healing. If you need a touch from God this morning, you can come up here, we'll pray over you, or you can just reach out and grab a hold of somebody's hand beside you, because the Holy Ghost is right beside you. Amen. The Spirit of God is right beside you. Go ahead and just touch somebody this morning. Say, Lord, we receive your peace. We receive your healing. We receive your hope. We receive your power. We're just going to go ahead and take a risk this morning. Hallelujah, Lord, because your word says, arise and shine. Hallelujah. We're going to get up out of the place where we're in. We're going to roll up our bedroll, and we're going to receive life this morning. We're going to receive hope this morning. We're going to receive peace this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Just put your focus on him this morning. Hallelujah. Let him change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Let him change the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just choose to step out in faith this morning, Lord. Help us to not have casual faith. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us declare the word over our lives, Father, over our circumstances. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Into this world.